الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبا القاسم محمد Can we have the second last salawat for the love of Fatima to Zahra عليه السلام محمد وآل Can we have third last salawat for the first reappearance of our awaited savior Imam al-Mahdi Allah salam Today I was asked to speak about a short lecture about the role of women in the West and how women are in the West and about hijab and about Fatima Zahra. So I'm going to be speaking just really briefly about each aspect and then we can discuss after that. First of all, looking at the status of women in the West and in the world and in history, we can see that women here in the West that, you know, they have this women, they're considered as like, they have this ideology in their head that they care about their outward appearance. They care about their outward appearance more than their inner appearance and their inner self. And they work on this and they work on their outer appearance and this is their main focus in life. And psychologists have said that females today in the West, there are millions of females. This is actually a statistic. They said that there's millions of females in the West that they are dissatisfied with their bodies. And we see that recently there was this big commotion about size zero and all these issues that females, when they grow up, they're not satisfied with their bodies because the role models they have are corrupt. So when you have corrupt role models, you're going to inspire to be like these corrupt role models. And that's when we see all these problems that they start to arise. In the West, especially in the UK and in America and Sweden, and when you look at the statistics in these countries, that there has been a rise of females that get pregnant at teenagers, teenage pregnancy. There has been a rise of that, and there has been a rise of anorexia and all these issues that this is a really common issue in the West, especially in the West. And we see that there's this association called the APA. This is a established association. And they said that women, they're no longer satisfied with their image. They said that there's so much emphasis in the media and all this, you know, there's so much emphasis on women telling them that, you know, you have to look this, you know, this ideal image that is beginning to corrupt women. Women are not, especially like these women, they're not focusing on their talent, their education, their knowledge. They're more focusing on their outer appearance and all these issues. And we see that people, they're looking at the wrong role models and they're taking these people as their key role models. And now we see in the West that unfortunately there's even Muslim girls that are taking these role models as their role models, and they're trying to inspire to be like them. And this is when we see that how a woman should be has slowly eroded. The respect of a woman, the reputation of a woman has slowly eroded. Okay, and the first thing that we see is a very important issue in a female is her hijab. Because people don't realize it, but we females, we hold the crown of Islam. Our hijab, when people look at us, they automatically know that we're Muslims. They look at us and they say, you know, this is a Muslim. So it's very important to portray Islam in the correct way. If you're on the bus and you're dressed, I don't know how, dressed inappropriately, and your attitudes, you're acting inappropriately, then people will look at Islam and they say, these are how Muslims are like. So we see that that especially females, it's very, very important for a female to give the right impression of Islam. And we see that in the Quran and teachings of Ahlul Bayt, there are usually, when we look at the teachings, we usually see there are six criterias to a perfect hijab. There are six criterias. And this is from the Quran and teachings of Ahlul Bayt. The first criteria is the extent, okay? What you should cover. What you should cover is, from the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, is only your face, which is the round part, including the chin, So you cover this overall face and your arms up to the wrist. This is the criteria for what you should cover, okay? It's just the overall part of your face and the hands, okay? The rest of the body must be covered. The second criteria is loose clothing, okay? When you wear hijab, the hijab has to be loose, as in the female body can't be shown, like the figure of the female body can't be shown. It has to be loose clothing. The third criteria is it can't be transparent, as in you can't see the skin. It can't be see-through, it can't be transparent. It has to be, you know, fully, like, you know, no one can see it underneath. The fourth thing is it can't be glamorous, as in it can't attract the opposite gender. You shouldn't dress to attract. You know, some people, they wear all different colors, and then they wear, you know, so much jewelry and stuff, but a hijab shouldn't be to attract the opposite gender. The fifth criteria is it cannot resemble the opposite gender. So you can't dress as if, you know, you dress as a boy. For example, us females, we can't dress as boys. You can't resemble the opposite gender or dress exactly like a male. You have to dress, you know, I'm not saying dress totally feminine, but you have to not resemble the opposite criteria, the opposite gender. And the sixth aspect of the criteria of hijab is it cannot resemble the non-believers, as in you can't wear symbols that are, how can I say this, that are religious symbols of the non-believers. For example, you know, where if Christians have a certain way of, you know, it's like if someone looks at you, they shouldn't think that you're a non-believer. You should dress as a Muslim. And this is the six criteria from the Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. But of course, hijab is not about the physical appearance. The hijab is also about attitude. So you should have the right attitude and morals. Because if you just dress as a perfect hijab and your attitude is nowhere near a Muslim girl or nowhere near modest, then the meaning of hijab will just go. You know, hijab is not just clothing and what you wear. It's also about attitude too. So you must have the perfect attitude, as in you must have an attitude of a female, I mean, as a Muslim woman. You must have morals and, you know, good behavior. These are all really important in hijab. And we see that when you do that, you'll gain so much respect, because it's the way you dress that people give you respect. If you dress respectful, then people would automatically, they would respect you. And this is why Islam has put this hijab criteria for a Muslim woman, to honor her, to respect her, to put her as a jewel. Because if you have a jewel, you won't throw it around in the street. You would look after it and you would cherish it. And then we look at the status of women in Islam and in other cultures and in this culture. The West, if you look in the history of the West, you see that there are many female movement parties and organizations that they have worked so hard to give liberty to women. They have worked so hard to give freedom for a woman. But the West have no idea that the revolutionary status of women and the freedom of women, Islam gave it to women long, long time ago, centuries ago. And the rights that women fight for today and a few years ago, you know, Islam gave this right to women long time ago. And we see that in the 19th century, I was researching about the status of women and, you know, the history of what the West, they fought for. And in the 19th century, there was this French, the religious scholars in France, they got together and this is the quotation from them. I actually got this from the book that they wrote. It said that woman is a human being, but is made to serve man. This is actually a quotation from a religious scholar in France. He said, a woman is a human being, but she is made to serve a man. This is how they degrade women so much, and they don't give freedom for women. As in, when Islam came, it gave so much freedom for women. And, you know, even when non-Muslims look at Islam, and they see that, how much freedom it gave to Islam, and how what status it put a female in, then they'll be amazed. Even here in the UK, that women just a few years ago, this was not just long ago, that women were able to They were able to own property. Okay, this is just a few years ago that women were given the right to own property. And in Islam, like centuries ago, when Islam came, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he gave women the right to own property and to have heritage. So, and this is like, when you look at status, you're really amazed, because when you look at the Greek civilization and the Roman civilization, it is exactly like the civilization and the situation that was in pre-Islamic Arabia. That's how it was. It gave women no right. So we see that that Islam, it gave women so much rights and stuff like that. And we see that Fatima al-Zahra, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she is the perfect role model. And when I say perfect, I mean she's perfect. Like, every nationality and every culture can learn from this woman. And when you take this woman as a role model, there's no guarantee that you will succeed in life. You would go so far by just looking at this woman. And even like, there's so much ayat in the Holy Quran that was revealed for her, and you see that it honored her so much. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave her so much honorable titles that he said that Fatima al-Zahra Sayyidat Nisa al-Alameen, which means that she was the leader of the women of the worlds. Okay, look at Alameen. It's not world, it's worlds. As in every generation can take this woman as a role model. She is compatible to be a role model for every generation, from the beginning till the end, and even after we die, if another generation comes, they can take this woman as a role model, because she's so liberal, and so, you know, she's a perfect that every generalization can take her as a role model. And we see that Fatima Zahra, if you look at her life, she had the most bestest hijab, she was the most modest, she was the most intellectual, she has so much intellect. Although she died at the age of 18, she has the most intellect, that if you put everyone's intellect of the world, of the scholars, they wouldn't reach Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. And I've seen volumes of books, okay, written about just Fatima Zahra, and it hasn't even reached them explaining what Fatima Zahra is. And we see that when you talk about women and their freedom, Fatima Zahra, when she was oppressed, when they took the land of Fedak away from her, she gave a whole speech and she spoke out against this oppression. And she spoke out and she told, you know, she said everything. And this is how brave and how intellectual she was, that she even stood up against her rights. And with this munasiba about Fatima al-Zahra, and it's her birth, and it's in her birth on Tuesday, it's a perfect time for us to research about this great woman and to take her as a role model and to research about her and to truly know who is Fatima al-Zahra. Because many people hear of Fatima al-Zahra, but they may not know exactly who Fatima al-Zahra is. And when we read more about this woman, when we go into knowledge about this woman, we see that she's a magnificent woman. And to end off this lecture, this really brief speech and talk, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.